Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. He healed the sick and caused the blind to see. He made the lame to walk again, and he set the captive free. But they turned their backs upon the Lord and nailed him to the tree. What will you do with Jesus Christ as he pleads with you today? Will you let him in your heart or will you walk away? Jesus Christ is still the same, he'll do the same for you. Christ as he pleads with you today. Will you let him in your heart or will you walk away? The Lord who died upon the cross will come to earth one day. His coming even now is at the door. Will your soul be ready? Sins be washed away, or will he turn his back on you and say, I know you not? What will you do with Jesus Christ as he pleads with you today? Will you let him in your heart or will you walk away? Will you let him in your heart?
I have been teaching on the incredible gift that God gave to us 2,000 years ago, and that gift is the gift of eternal life, which is made available to everyone through Jesus Christ. Yes, that incredible event took place because it was foretold by the prophets, and God had ordained it as the saving way for humanity. Yes, the Bible teaches us very clearly that man is desperately wicked, constantly evil, and spiritually dead, and he needs a savior. Anybody who tries to sidestep that issue will run into a lot of problems because man is incapable of being good. Man is incapable of saving himself. He needs a Savior. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ was given to us. He was given to us so that we might have life. When one takes the Word of God and takes the time to study on where he was heading for, the separation from God, the eternal lake of fire, we definitely can rejoice in the gift of eternal life because it changed our whole future. It changed our destination. But we have to understand that that gift is given to us for free, and we have to accept it. Without our accepting it, we cannot attain it. It's like somebody giving us a gift here on earth. If we don't receive it, then we don't have that gift. This is what religion is trying to sidestep. They're trying to earn that gift. A gift cannot be earned. It has to be accepted. And once that gift is given, then it is not withdrawn. It is not taken back. God gives it to us throughout eternity. The gift of eternal life is given with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is attached to that eternal life gift. And once a person has the Holy Spirit, he receives the mind of Christ. And throughout eternity, we will be one with God. I will teach on this subject today on how sure and how complete that eternal life is that has been given to us. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open the hearts of the listeners so that they can understand and start to rejoice. For Lord God, we are seeing problems all around us, and we need to rejoice in what God has done for us. Help us to understand today. I thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. When we study the subject of communion in the Word of God, there the Lord God describes what takes place when a man becomes born again. Yes, people all over the world take communion. Religious people take communion. But do they understand what the true meaning of the bread and the wine is? Today I will give you an insight, or I will teach on what happens when somebody truly is born again and what the bread and the wine represents. Yes, many people take that sacrament without thinking much of it. But let me tell you, the sacrament is an indication of something incredibly deep. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, the Lord is taking communion with his disciples. He gives them a bread and he says, "Take, eat, this is my body." The bread represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and saying, "Drink you all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And then he adds something here. He says, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So the Lord God is mentioning something here. He's telling us that when we take communion, it represents his flesh and his blood. And he told his disciples, "The next time I'm going to take communion with you, physically. It'll be in the kingdom of God. It'll be in heaven. I want to show you today what it truly means to take communion, what you are doing in the spiritual realm. In John chapter 26, verse 48, it tells us, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. So here the Lord God is giving us a very clear indication that happens to a person who becomes born again. First of all, it tells us, he shall live forever. So if you are born again by the Spirit of the living God, whenever you take communion, you are indicating that you will live forever. And life is what the Word of God teaches us when a person goes to heaven. Death is when a person goes to the lake of fire. So when it's talking about living here, it's talking about entering into the kingdom of God. So here is what it says. Any man who eats this bread shall live forever. And he gives this life for the world. And it tells us, and the Jews therefore strove amongst themselves and ask, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Of course, we understand it today. We don't physically eat the flesh of Jesus. We eat the bread and we drink the wine. It's a symbol that we are eating the flesh of Jesus. And Jesus tells them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. I want to paraphrase that one. Except you become born again by the Spirit of God, you are spiritually dead, and the wrath of God abides upon you. So don't try to manipulate God with religion. You cannot. You have to give the Lord Jesus Christ your life and heart and accept him into your heart and then become his child through what he did on the cross for us. In John chapter 6, verse 54, it tells us, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again here, he tells us, the minute you're born again, you'll receive eternal life. Very clear scriptures here. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. In other words, it does a deed. That's where the power is. It has an incredible power of transforming a person. It tells us in verse 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. We become one with him. We become the bride of Christ. A bride and a groom become one. They start to think alike. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the last verse, very clearly teaches us that we have received the mind of Christ. In verse 57 of John chapter 6, it tells us, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. This is the promise of God given to us through the mouth of Jesus Christ. He that eateth the Lord Jesus Christ shall live forever. Are you sure of your salvation? Do you believe in once saved, always saved? I will throw this out to you very boldly today. Do you know that you are God's for keeps? I will give you a few scriptures out of the Old Testament that will make very clear to you that once you're born again, you stay born again. There is no reversing the situation. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, the Lord God had finished placing curses on Adam and Eve and upon this world situation. And then he says in verse 22 of Genesis chapter 3, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. Very clear. It tells us here that the Lord God knew that if Adam and Eve would eat of the tree of life, they would live forever in their sinful state. And God did not want that. So he chased them out of the garden. It tells us in verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So, I want to ask you a question. Have you eaten of the tree of life? Who is this tree of life? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you eat of that tree, when you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the tree of life, which is Jesus Christ, in verse 58 of John chapter 6, it very clearly tells us, you shall live forever. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Look it over. Study it for yourself. The total completeness of a person that becomes born again. You are sealed unto the day of redemption. You are then a purchased possession. The Bible teaches us that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come will be able ever to separate us from the love of God which Christ Jesus has towards us. And we have to understand, a person who goes into the lake of fire is separated from the love of God. That's the eternal damnation of a person, being separated from the love of God. But the Bible teaches us, his children, that neither tribulation, neither death, neither life, things present, things to come, can separate us from this awesome love that Christ has towards us. This is an awesome revelation. Study it. Let it bring peace to your heart and rejoice in your future. For we are definitely heading towards the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ. The turmoil that is upon this planet is beyond our imagination. When I watch the news and listen to what is going on, I can see the handwriting on the wall. The clock is about ready to strike 12. So look up. We are soon going to see our Lord Jesus Christ calling our name, we are soon going home. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing.
Distressed and downhearted because of my sin, longing for heaven but unworthy to go in. But one who was worthy shed his blood on Calvary. Satan shouted guilty, but Jesus cried redeemed.
For this part of the program, I want to make clear to you what I have been trying to reveal to you in the first part of the program. The Bible teaches us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, that the Lord God created two trees in the middle of the garden. One was the tree of life, and one was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Bible teaches us that Adam and Eve could not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but there is no record that they were forbidden to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. And there is no record that they did eat of the fruit of the tree of life. It doesn't tell us anything. But once they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the Lord God makes an interesting statement. He tells us in verse 22 of Genesis chapter 3, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Then what did he do? He said, "I will chase them out of the garden," and he put a cherubim before the garden door with a flaming sword. Thus he closed the gate, or there was no chance of anybody ever going back in there to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. But then 4,000 years later, something happened. The tree of life was brought back into existence again. And that tree of life is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that Jesus was nailed to a tree. He was nailed to a cross, which was made out of a tree. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ resembles or is that tree of life today. So when you eat of that tree of life, when you partake of it, of its fruit, you then shall live forever. This is what the Bible clearly states in Genesis chapter 3. This is very interesting. So when a person becomes born again, he will live forever. And to live forever means to have this eternal life when God gives it to us, when we turn to Him for salvation. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, very clearly states that if they would have eaten of the tree of life, after they have eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would have eternal life. They would live forever. This is very interesting. So now we can very clearly see that once a person eats of the tree of life, which is Jesus, he shall live forever. So now we can, with a clear conscience, say, once we're saved, we're always saved. Hallelujah. This is what the Word of God is trying to bring to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that once you become born again, it is a done deal. It is completely finished. Jesus finished our salvation. We cannot undo it, or we cannot add unto it, because the record is clearly written by God's own words in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Anybody who eats of the tree of life shall live forever. Hallelujah! This is an awesome revelation. And it's a revelation that has been given to us by the Word of God through the Spirit of God. We can depend on it and we can rejoice in it. Yes, God wants us to rejoice that we are heading for an incredible eternity filled with joy and peace and happiness. Yes, when one thinks of that, we look upon the world situation not with anxiety, but with joy, because we know we're soon going to be with our Savior. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbach, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbach, Manitoba, R5G1M2.